The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brocker back with you here, 710 KNUS, hour 2 of 4, Charlie Kirk at 10, Prager at 11, Gorka at 1, and then we go live and local right back here, well, not in Roanoke, Virginia, but right back there with someone named Deb Flora, and then 4 to 7, a guy named Stephen Tubbs. You've heard him. If you haven't been listening to their shows in the afternoon, just put it on in the background as you're driving around contemplating what crimes to commit in Denver. My suggestion is stealing a car. According to the attorney general, it's the car's fault, the car maker. So Hyundai and Kia, you can steal those. Here's what's taking place today in Colorado. A lot of conversations about a protest that is going to end up, I think, being maybe nationwide, but it began right there at our Colorado Capitol, right there in very, very safe, not crime-ridden, no government supervised injection sites, right there in Denver at the Capitol. It was, depending upon which article you're reading, 1 to 2,000 people. And this is the way it was described. Oh, sprawled across the Capitol lawn in chairs and on blankets by early Monday afternoon. I think we have a little bit of sound that Billy found that helps put it all in perspective.
To Denver from New York because I refuse to normalize what is happening in our country.
The reasons are as varied as their home states.
As a single parent, we have enough challenges to, you know, constantly fear for our kids' lives and our own. We don't need that extra stress.
But the message is the same.
Seeing this and being around the energy of people who are really pushing for change is making me breathe a little easier that it is possible.
2,000 women sat for hours with hopes of making history. The ask? Governor Polis ban guns in the state and buy them back through an executive order. The answer? No.
What is specifically being asked for would not be illegal use of the powers of the governor.
Governor Polis says an executive order like the group is asking for can only be used under a disaster emergency declaration.
We are in an emergency situation. There are more guns than people. There are more shootings and more deaths than the number of days this year.
Oh, I never thought he would do it today. Yeah, that's why we're coming back tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day.
Despite Polis calling Here for the Kids plan unconstitutional, they say the leader they need could still be within him. 7 weeks of planning, 2,000 moms, 12 hours of protest and counting led to one unsigned executive order.
I think it's a process, and change is always slow. It takes a long time to make a difference. We just need to keep doing it.
Any disappointment that I would have, anything that would tell me, oh, it's not exactly what we hoped for, is definitely quelled by the fact that I know more Coloradans are on their way. And I know that we are in this movement together.
Now, listen, that is that sound from the sit-in, or whatever they wanted to call it, yesterday. I think it's supposed to go on for up to 4 days here, and there's other capitals I imagine they're going to go to. I'll say this, to the extent that they came from other states, I really don't care what your opinion is here. I mean, the fact that someone would travel from as nearby as Kansas or Nebraska or as far away as New York, Alaska, or Hawaii, your opinion about what Colorado should do with its law is 100% irrelevant. You want to go sit in on your Capitol, great. But it can't just be dismissed as nothingness, because to get 1,000 to 2,000 people together to give up time in their lives to logistically transport themselves over to the Capitol and hang around and protest something that they're passionate about, that's a big deal. Way different, by the way, than the ridiculous story that we covered yesterday where there was like three or four people with signs that they drew out on a random piece of paper they found in the back of their car, protesting against the Christian coffee shop, which I still want to get that dude on the air, Billy, because part of me wonders if this wasn't all a big marketing scheme. But nonetheless, you know, to get people to rally to his cause. I just wonder. Nonetheless, 1,000 to 2,000 people, that's real. That's a big deal. The fact that people would travel from out of state is a big deal, that they would be so inspired or moved to do this. I'm going to presume that none of them were compensated unless someone's got evidence to the contrary. That's kind of a big deal. And if you don't think it is, ask yourselves, what would it take for you to leave your life and travel to another state to show up in some other state's capital and protest any issue? I've never done it. I'm not sure I would ever do it. Like, I don't care what Ohio does with their state laws. I mean, it's good conversation for us to see if it's coming here, but I'm not going to show up there. Nonetheless, this thing has taken place. And if you'll remember the local hook here, not just that it happened at the Capitol, but these are the folks, it's Here for the Kids with a four in it. And you can go to their website, and it's an organization that exists really for just one purpose. And that is to have the governor sign an unconstitutional executive order banning all weapons. Now, did you catch that part in the story where the governor says, or it was someone on the governor's behalf that said, hey, that could only be invoked under extreme danger? I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm pretty sure it can be invoked under no circumstances. I am not sure what the scenario is where a governor could simply say, I'm banning all guns. Even if there was an insurrection, or even if we were under martial law, I'm not convinced that the governor has the constitutional authority. And I'm talking the big constitution, not the little state one, the big federal one. I'm not, even under the state one, I'm not sure that he has the authority to just suspend the constitution because there's some kind of an emergency. I don't think that's possible. But nonetheless, we're not there. Even if they want to argue the number of deaths is somehow an emergency, I don't buy it. But what's interesting about this, and where I want to get your thoughts on this, is does this movement, in your opinion, and best guess, if you're listening to this show, more than likely you're a very pro-Second Amendment person like I am. The issue is, does this do more damage to their efforts than it does help their efforts? Does it matter? There's a companion couple pieces here. And when I say companion, only because they go along with the event that took place. Of course, the Democratic Post put something out here. Two other good reporters, Saja Hindi and Seth Klaman, put this thing out, and they interviewed people there. But this idea that they're going to call upon Polis and other governors to sign some executive order seems to be counterproductive to me, to their move, because it makes them seem frenetic and frantic and reckless, and we don't care about the law. And I think it runs the risk of diminishing the cause of any other part of that gun control movement. As you know, there were five different laws, maybe more than in my lifetime, passed by the extremely progressive Colorado General Assembly to infringe upon our rights in the name of saving lives. Because as you know, when it's something on the left, even if it saves one life, it's totally worth the infringement on your rights. On the right side, even if you were trying to save a whole bunch of unborn babies in the last moments of their gestational period, that's a bridge too far. Or if you're trying to save kids from the certainty of drug addiction and you want to make laws stronger to keep that from happening, that's a bridge too far. But when it comes to the left, if you want to save a single life, this is the way to do it, is you advocate for this extreme and unconstitutional use of gubernatorial power. Now, I appreciate that Governor Polis has acknowledged he doesn't have that authority. I dispute the fact that he would ever have that authority under any circumstances at all, but I can be proven wrong. If you've got that information, you share it with us. But it's interesting that Colorado Public Radio, and they do a nice job of reporting too. I mean, these are real reporters, even if they lean left in the foxhole. They're real reporters. And one of the things that they wrote in their particular piece here online is that it's the point. They said, Here for the Kids protesters, no, Polis can't ban guns. And that's the point. I read the column. I don't get it. I read the article. I don't get it. They're saying that the reason that they're doing that is to show, this is a quote, to show the public demand for extraordinary action to stop the ceaseless violence that plays out in schools, theaters, homes, offices, and public streets. Someone from Arvada said, I'm here because these are people that have a vision. Whether I believe it can happen or not, it's almost irrelevant because I want to be part of something that's getting the ball rolling and starting the conversation. Does this do that? Does this start the conversation? I know that this show also has a great number of listeners who would not describe themselves as Republican or conservative, but they're interested in the conversation. What do you think on this? If you're a person that is supportive of, and I'm using air quotes here, on the Rumble. If you're not on the Rumble, you're missing me doing the air quotes right here. If you're a person that believes in reasonable gun control, if that's the term of the day that's used for that, does this help or hurt your cause? Because in my opinion, it makes this movement look extreme and frivolous when it tries to bring attention to something by saying, we want the governor to do blank. I mean, do you think it would advance the pro-life movement for 1,000 Christians to pour onto the Capitol and ask the governor to impose an executive order that bans all abortions? Equally ridiculous and extreme. And it makes these people seem, in my opinion, a little unhinged to go down this road. Why ask for something that is so wholly unconstitutional? But by the way, I'm not the only one that says that. If you take a look at your Democratic Post right here, there's an opinion piece written by two senators, Rhonda Fields and Tom Sullivan. You know Rhonda because she's been on the show before. I like Rhonda. We are very, very friendly. We don't agree on a lot of issues, including this particular one with gun control. But we do agree on her approach to victims of crime and holding people accountable. That's real. And she is all world when it comes to that. And she's also someone who's willing to sit down and listen, even if she disagrees with you. And she's always super professional and respectful about it. But I like Rhonda. And she and Tom Sullivan, and you know the stories, Rhonda's son was assassinated by Sir Mario Owens and Robert Ray, who Governor Polis spared their lives by commuting their sentence from death to just merely life in prison, despite the fact that they were multiple murderers. And then Tom Sullivan, of course, is the father of Alex Sullivan, who was one of the 12 murdered at the Aurora Theater Massacre back on July the 20th of 2012. My God, we're coming up on 11 years since that horrible tragedy. Each of them was inspired, I think, impassioned by the loss in their lives to run for office. And so it's no surprise that their focus has been on gun control issues to try to keep some other parent from having to go through this. Even if you and I disagree with the laws that they support and the approach and all that other stuff, you simply can't have anything other than, in my opinion, respect for what led them there and an understanding that this is not something born of a hatred of anyone or any right, but a desire. I really believe this of Tom and Rhonda, a real true desire to make sure that nobody else ever has to go through what they go through on a daily basis when they wake up and realize what hole has been blown in their lives. I appreciate that. Now, these are people who voted for, advocated for, and sponsored those five gun control measures, the most in my lifetime, as I told you. Well, they, yesterday in the Democratic Post, penned an opinion piece, and it's called "Our Response to the Gun Violence That Took Our Children Is Working a Little at a Time." And then they take a shot at kids at the Here for the Kids saying pushing. This is, by the way, the lead. This isn't them. This is the lead written by the Denver Post. Pushing for drastic measures like executive orders banning gun sales is counterproductive to our long term fight for safety. So you have two of the most outspoken, out front faces of gun control in the General Assembly saying that this movement is counterproductive and causes damage to this movement that they see as a much more long-term movement. Wow. When you have those two people taking a position, not just behind the scenes, not like, geez, I wish they wouldn't do that, or tweeting it out, but writing an opinion piece for the Post, sweet mother of goodness, you've lost it all. It's like when Lyndon Baines Johnson said, when you lose Walter Cronkite, you've lost middle America. This movement, even though they were able to generate 1,000 to 2,000 people, some of whom, I don't know how many of whom, are not even from here, so their opinions don't matter to us here. That's my opinion. That's amazing. That is amazing. So if you're out there and you're someone who supports the quote-unquote reasonable gun control stuff, do you support this effort? And if you do, tell me why. Tell me how this is a positive for that movement, because it looks like it's a big fat negative. And what I think it does, and I think this is where Senator Fields and Senator Sullivan are coming from, is that it has the effect of making the gun control efforts seem even more extreme and not common sensey, but outrageous in asking for something like that. Like, why not ask Governor Polis to ban cancer or something? He doesn't have that authority or ability either. It just seems like this is a much ado about nothing. Now, they've said, hey, this is an effort to draw attention to the cause. I believe them. I believe it is an effort to try to draw attention, but it's not the right kind of attention. It's not going to result in anything. Getting 2,000 people, getting 10,000 people to show up at the Capitol and demand some sort of extreme action that doesn't exist under any constitution I'm aware of, that is not the way to advance your cause. That's a way to highlight you as an extremist. There's probably good answers for this, and maybe that's the other piece. We do this from time to time when these gun control things come up, and that is the question, and I think this is where the other side does harm to our cause. If you're a pro-Second Amendment person, this notion that there can never, ever, never, never be a single law that would step between an individual and a firearm, I don't agree with that either. I don't think that's what the Second Amendment stands for, and I think the United States Supreme Court agrees with my interpretation. There's a huge gap between that acknowledgement and what Senator Fields and Senator Sullivan have advocated for and the governor has signed into law this year. We've gone through that, by the way, a bunch, how each of those laws, the only law that could possibly have an impact is the one that allows people to sue the gun industry and gun sellers out of existence using provisions in the law that exist for no other product that I'm aware of. That's the only one that might have an impact because it would reduce the supply and probably increase the cost. It won't change the illegal guns on the street. It won't change all the crimes that are committed by them, but it could change lawful gun ownership, and that might have some impact. The rest of those bills, honest to goodness, I don't think you can point to a major shooting, maybe even a minor shooting, that would have been averted if any of those laws had existed before they occurred. Nonetheless, on each side, you have extremists. You have the that anybody should be able to get a gun at any time. Here's another one. Rocky Mountain gun owners, which not to be confused with the NRA, cannot get those folks to come out and commit to the idea that convicted drug dealers should not have access to firearms. Won't come out and say it. They'll say, well, if someone has completed their sentence and served their time, then they should have all their rights restored. Really? So someone who's convicted of second-degree murder, who serves their 30 years in prison and they're paroled out, you want them to go get a gun? I don't. I don't want them to go get a gun. The convicted drug dealer, do you see what I'm saying? Is that we have extremists on both sides. This particular movement, I think, is damaging to that part of the political spectrum that thinks that there are quote-unquote reasonable gun control measures. Our side, the Second Amendment side, gets damaged by those who say there's never, ever, never, ever a legal justification to get between a person and their firearm. I mean, they're kind of just two sides of the same coin, of the same extremist coin. But I'm interested to know your thoughts on this. Does this help or does this hurt? Our number, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. And if you're one of the five members of RMGO and you want to call in and explain to me why it's okay for drug dealers to have firearms, I'd be happy to have that conversation as well. Meanwhile, I want to give Billy a chance to get through the phone lines. There are a ton of texts, and I will try to read those and do those on air. But does this hurt or does this help? George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brocker back with you here, 710 KNUS, talking about the 1,000 to 2,000 people that have, done this sit-in around the Capitol yesterday on an issue that is so completely unrealistic and frivolous that I think it causes some damage to the movement there, and that's this Here for the Kids effort. And I didn't tell you this other part, too, by the way. If you read some of these columns, it's supposed to be all white women. No joke. And some of the stuff that I've read that online is because that women of color, if that's the right term, women of color said, we have for too long been the ones that have always stepped into the gap and done all this other stuff. And, oh, by the way, no, this is I'm not making this stuff up. This is what I read. That white women were less likely to be brutalized by law enforcement. And that's why they wanted to send them to go do this effort. What? I mean, what kind of ridiculousness is that? As if it was 1,000 people of color, the Denver Police Department would have shown up and just started thumping skulls or something, like all of a sudden we're Selma, Alabama from the 60s. Not even close. Nonetheless, that's part of this narrative here. Here's some other texts that have come in. Folks have texted in and said they want a dictatorship. I think on this issue, that's absolutely true. They would take that in a moment. Listen to this one. Women tend to be more, this is a texter, women tend to be more neurotic and safety concerned in their psychological profile. Most women don't understand that firearms are an important check to tyrannical government, literally a check against their desired tyranny. Government has oppressed and killed more people in human history than any other organization. That last sentence may be true. Not our government, of course, but governments around the world. I imagine that's true just because they have a monopoly on the use of some force that's there. But I'm not sure. Neurotic just has a negative connotation. I'm not sure I would say that. Do I think that mothers, not just women, but mothers in particular, have a stronger paternal instinct than men in many circumstances? I do. It's not to say men are lesser. It's not to say women are better. But I just know that. I mean, I'm a dad. I would die for my kids. I'd do it right now if I thought it was necessary. That's different, right? Like, moms, just that mama bear thing is legit. So I'm not sure that you can write it off as just that. But I do appreciate that they have an intense feeling about this. And the imagery, I think, of all the moms out there, and they brought their kids' pictures. And if you read some of these columns, some of these articles, they're like, well, I have my kids' pictures with me. And people think that I have them there because they've been shot and killed by guns. They haven't. I'm just here to show you this is who I'm here for. And I thought that very, very interesting. And then here's another text. The narrative is racist as hell. Certainly the one about let's have all the white women do it. Here's another, and then I'll get to the calls. I'll get to Rick and Chris in just a moment here. Good morning, George. Do you know I'm against gun? I'm sorry. You know I'm against violence, just like almost anybody else. I do. These women think that the guns just decide that they're going to be the ones to do the shooting, and let's just jump in this person's hand and let's go kill somebody today. There's more guns in this world than people. Where did she get off with that one? Why don't we start like with him prosecuting people for having guns illegally, just saying, have a great day? I think a lot of that was probably voice to text, and I'm not doing it justice. I just didn't get a chance to read through it. Let's do this. Let's go right to the phone lines. We have one open at 303-696-1971. Rick from Centennial, you're on 710. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. You're talking about the girls that came out here from another state as if it sounds like they meant to perform kind of a petition to get some change from here that's going to affect their home area? Is that what?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll affect their home area. I imagine this is going to be a traveling group of folks that are going capital to capital. That's what it seems like to me, like they're on a summer tour or something.
Oh, okay.
Well, what are your thoughts on it? And is it helpful, hurtful? Where do you come? First off, where do
you
come
down?
Well,
they're coming out here. Colorado's a place where people around the country can see a great change in things. And, so that's why they come here. Then,
Rick,
and Neil Polis is indeed reaching out to this kind of attitude all around the country in his approach anyway. Isn't he trying to get elected, working out to maybe make a run for president in a few years?
You make an interesting point, Rick, in that Governor Polis confronts this. I don't think he invites it, but I do think it's politically beneficial for him because he gets to look like a moderate. He gets to look like the libertarian guy he wants people to think he is, even though he's incredibly progressive.
Yeah.
He gets to get out there and say, no, there's no chance we can do this. It's not constitutional, all this other stuff. I think this benefits him politically, but for the cause, and Rick, I don't know where you come down on this. How would you describe the Second Amendment and where you are with that issue?
I'm for it. I mean, allowing for it and everything, just like normal. I don't have guns, but growing up, guys in our school always had guns. I mean, they even have them in the back of their pickup truck. They shot squirrel and things, and it's just nothing. So, yeah, I'm for the Second Amendment.
Do you think that this effort by these in-state and out-of-state folks to try to ask the governor to do something which he plainly lacks the authority to do, do you think it hurts or helps their cause?
Well, probably helps it. You know, they're progressive-minded people. I think they're drawn to come to the state, because it's pretty progressive.
Do you think it helps them in terms of, what about the optics of it? Obviously, they can't accomplish their goal, but their goal of their stated goal. But one of the other things is, are they drawing the right kind of attention to this? Or when you see this, do you think, my goodness, why are they wasting their time asking for something that is impossible?
Well, what is it? How specific is it? What they want?
It's very specific. If you go to this here for the kids website, Rick, what they will say is, we want an executive order from the governor banning the sale, the purchase of all guns, outlawing all guns, and requiring a mandatory buyback by the government of all existing guns. Pretty specific, pretty extreme.
Yeah, that's very specific. Who knows? I have to see what happens. I would think it'd be pretty difficult to have that happen here.
I agree. Rick, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on 710. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Well, I'm going to drop this bombshell on you. I got shot in the head in 1987.
In where?
In Eagle, Colorado. I got shot
You said you got shot in the where?
Head.
Oh,
my
goodness.
I have a bullet behind
my
right eye. So it's not the guns. God. Fault. It's the fact that the people are not educated about guns, and we need guns in the state, in the country. And I, you know, what those ladies are doing, they've never held a gun. They don't know the butt from the barrel.
Chris, can I ask you, we step back a little bit, and first, what were the circumstances under which you
were
shot?
I was 14 years old, and I was living with parents, and one of my parents shot me in the night.
Was it an accident? Was it on purpose?
That's what they deemed it, but she had threatened my life multiple times. And then,
was there any legal action? Was she prosecuted?
No, because Eagle County deemed it an accident, and it's not an accident. I have lifetime problems because of that. But it was tried in the media.
Even though you were intentionally shot, this is your recollection, by, I think you said, your mom.
Parent. Step-parent.
Your parent. I'm sorry. Parent. You are still committed to the idea that there's a need for guns in the state of Colorado. Tell me about that.
Well, you take the guns from the good people. Who has it? The bad people. And if you don't have a right to protect yourself, then we give over to the drug cartels and all that, we become a third world country with no rights. And we've had that civil liberty for decades. And it's in the Constitution for a reason.
Oh, yeah, we've had it for centuries. When you look at this movement, this Here for the Kids movement, which is a clever name,
they're
right?
They're not here
because
for
now
the kids. They're just here for themselves. They have no, like I said, they have no idea of what it means to be victimized by a gun and overcome it.
Well, some of them might. Maybe not to the extent you have. I mean, you're very unique. But maybe some of them have. Maybe some of them have lost loved ones or others to that. I don't want to dismiss their passion or their motives. I just don't know. But this way about going about it, it just
it's
seems
wrong.
To me to be frivolous.
And wrong. It's stupid. It just seems uneducated.
Chris, we ask this from time to time when we get on these issues, and you sound like a strong Second Amendment supporter. Are there any laws that you think are appropriate to get between an individual and a firearm? And I'm going to just give you some examples. Age restrictions, criminal history, mental health. Should there be a law that requires a certain amount of training or familiarity with firearms before you can purchase them? What are your thoughts on those things?
I think there needs to be training, and yes, there should be. If you're not old enough to vote, you're not old enough to have a gun.
Well, and as you know, under our current legislature, even if you're old enough to vote, you're not to vote on gun laws, you're not old enough to possess a gun. They just moved up that law all the way to 21 based on almost no data at all to show that it would alleviate any sort of crimes or anything like that.
Because it's parents not keeping their guns locked, not educating their kids on if you shoot somebody, it's permanent.
Well, that part's true. You know that Colorado, a session or two ago, passed a law that creates criminal liability for those people that do two things, that don't keep their guns appropriately stored in their home, and two, that don't report when their firearms get stolen. What do you think about those?
I think they are responsible. Just like when their kids take it out and take it to school and shoot up our Columbine. And I lived next to the teacher that died. He was my next door neighbor.
Tom Sanders. Yes. Dave Sanders. Sorry. God bless it. Dave. Yeah.
So, you know, I look at life's lost because of stupidity on kids' part. They're playing these video games.
Do you think what they did was stupid? I see it as evil. You think
it's
it was dumb?
Stupid and evil. I'm looking at it as a gunshot victim. And I know I also work at a movie theater. So I'll tell you, I've reeled from this stuff.
Hmm. Are there other laws that you can think of, Chris, when you look and say, I would be supportive of this? And you've already mentioned the training aspect of it. Anything else that you can think of?
I think no criminal should have it. I think so, age.
Hold on. So if you're a convicted drug dealer, you would not let that convicted drug dealer have guns again.
Or even a rapist, any kind of conviction.
That's a great point on the felony conviction stuff. That's interesting because our attorney general, Phil Weiser, super progressive, and it sounds like RMGO are on the same page on this, that if you're a convicted felon, as long as you've served your sentence, you ought to get your guns back. I'm just not a believer in that.
Heck no.
Not for drug dealers and car thieves. I don't think so. Maybe if someone's like, maybe if it was identity theft or something, you know what I mean? Or like check fraud. But the connection between drug dealing and car thieves and violence is crazy.
It's just stupid. It's putting the guns in bad people's hands. Not, you take it away from the good people, then all you have running around are bad people going around.
Well, Chris, I appreciate the phone call on this because, and first off, what an amazing story that you have, and I think you probably recognize this too. It sounds miraculous. I mean, to be shot in the head at all, but behind the rock, I'm so sorry for what you're dealing with, but I really appreciate the courage in picking up the phone and calling us and having this conversation.
I'm a hoot going through TSA with a bullet in my head.
Dang. Does it go off every time you go through the metal detectors?
Every time, and you can't say
and
bullet.
And so you have to, every time you travel, you have to say, I have a bullet in my head, and what is
no,
the reaction?
No, you can't say bullet. I travel fully documented. So between that and the titanium plate, I'm a hoot going through TSA.
Hold on, Chris. You can't say bullet? I mean, what happens?
No,
all of a sudden everything turns red and they strip search you?
Yep.
Good God. So what do you tell them? I have metal in my noggin?
I just say it's in my head, and I give them the paperwork. And it's like if they, but I still have to go through the whole grope session, which is
oh,
awful.
No.
It's in my head. It's not somebody who's being honest that's going to be a problem at the airport.
Of course
it's
not.
Somebody
don't,
who's trying to
don't
get
they
through
put you
staff.
In that little scanner thing that does the quick little mini MRI thing and they can see
and
that
I can't
up,
do that because it could pull, the bullet's got the tracer on it, so it could pop out. That's how close
what?
She was. Yeah. I'm a lot of fun going through TSA.
Holy smokes. Chris, what an incredible story.
But, you know, I've survived it since 87. I'm going to be 51 this year. And
wow.
I've lived longer than most people with a bullet. Like mine, it went over the left temporal lobe and it's lodged behind the right eye.
Chris, where was high school?
I graduated from A West.
Oh, man. You were a wildcat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
still
so I was a Jeffco
there.
Kid, too. I was a Jeffco kid, too, Bear Creek Bears. And we graduated at similar-ish times, I imagine. You said you're going to turn 51. Yeah, just, and again, this has nothing to do with our topic, just familiarity. A West at the time was one of the dominant wrestling programs in the state of Colorado.
We were
those
4
guys,
point and, or 4A and 5A in every sport. I was on swim team and the volleyball team.
And I think you'll remember that Dave Logan, I think,
yes.
Started at A West, didn't he? And then
yes.
He went to Chatfield and then to Mullen and then to Cherry Creek all along. I mean, the guy's collected state championships, I think, 3 at a time. But I think he was up there at A West, went to a game where he was coaching against Bear Creek at that Jeffco Stadium there at 6th Avenue and Kipling. And it was Tommy who was, I think it was Tommy Thielen, who was coaching for Bear Creek Bears, my former coach. And he beat him, and it was sad. Because Bear Creek's better than A West. I'm just saying, Chris.
Here's another one. Roy Holloway graduated a year below me. I used to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All world pitcher, Roy Holloway.
Him.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
I used to throw balls so he can work on his batting.
Wow.
So, you know,
Man, that's pretty.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
lots.
Chris,
you know,
look,
God
call
bless
in
you.
Again, would you? It doesn't have to be on a gun topic, but just please call in again. I love that you listen and that you shared your story with us.
I let you know about my nephew that was in Taiwan. He actually got moved out. He's in somewhere safer.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Okay.
So
okay,
we
good.
Had that conversation months ago.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for that.
Him and his family are out and safe, so I'm very happy about that, too.
Thanks for updating us on that.
But
and
God
call
bless
in.
You.
We love hearing from you.
Thank you, George. You have
thanks,
a good
Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
Stunner.
No, thank you. I thought that was a great phone call. I did not know that. What an amazing story to have been shot by a parent, bullet behind the eye, and live to tell the tale, and still a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. That's an incredible call. You can't just invent something like that. Thank you, Chris, for the courage of sharing that. Listen, we're going to cut away for a break. We're going to get through more of the texts, and we'll get the phone calls when we come back. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. KNUS, some of the texts that we're going through here. This is a super nice one. I think that a felon is always a felon, and they should not be able to have their gun back. I'm not quite there either. I get the sentiment, by the way, and that used to be the law here. There are some felonies I can think of where the person poses no more risk than anyone else, and the civil liberty thing, that's a big deal. Like, we restore even convicted second-degree murderers who get paroled and they've completed everything. I mean, you can still get your right to vote back. I think that if it's a small enough property type crime, I can see saying, hey, that conviction shouldn't keep you from getting all of your rights back. But convicted drug dealers, Phil Weiser and RMGO, convicted car thieves, and there's an undeniable connection between car thieves and violent crime, undeniable. Really, RMGO and Phil Weiser? Rearm those people? Hard pass, man, from me, and my guess is the majority of Coloradans think that is crack smoke crazy. And there's other felonies, too. I think for a while the bill that the AG championed there in the legislature that rearmed felons included rearming, like, rioters, insurrectionists, a whole bunch of other crimes. They went back and tried to correct it last year, but if you'll remember, the correction continued to allow convicted drug dealers and car thieves to possess firearms. If someone wants to defend that, please call in 303-696-1971. Here's someone else. RMGO does nothing but hurt Republican candidates and the Republican platform because they can't see past their no-compromise lobby. I've always heard that the main reason our country has not been attacked on our soil is because we have the largest armed militia of any other country. This is thanks to all the gun owners in our great country. Well, I'm a gun owner, multiple guns, by the way. That's an interesting point, and I said that to the texter. I'm like, that's interesting. I had not thought of that as being one of the reasons that we were attacked. My response was that maybe, but also, we have a world-class military. I mean, there's no military on the planet Earth, although that margin is shrinking, that is more dominant than we are on just about every level. Although, dang, China's really trying to catch up in a hurry, and we're kind of letting them. And there was a couple texts about A. West being dominant in sports, certainly in wrestling. I agree. Someone else, something about Rhonda. I don't know Rhonda's criminal background, and I don't know that it's super relevant. Here's another one from someone sent in a text from NCBI. In college and adult samples, women score higher than men in five-factor model personality traits of neuroticism and agreeableness. Women are more neurotic. It's fine. Men take more risks. This is the balance between men and women. Well, I do think men take more risks. And again, nothing's ever going to be 100%. You just can't explain some of the conduct. Like, how about those jackasses who threw the rocks through the windshield and killed that sweet 19-year-old girl, Alexa, up there? Girls just don't do stupid stuff like that in general. Have there been Thelma and Louise's? Sure. But it's dudes, right? Like, when you hear of something super crazy, it's dudes. The car surfing thing, no shocker there. A 17-year-old dude who made that decision. So I agree there. Joan, our buddy Joan from Lakewood, says this is the CNN take. Hundreds of white women gather at Colorado Capitol after plea from women of color to use their privilege to demand action on gun violence. And Joan says, not sure that I have white privilege anymore. You don't, Joan. You don't have white privilege anymore, but all the rest of them do. I'm not sure why this took such a racial turn, as if 1,000 or 2,000 people of any color showing up at the Capitol wouldn't be a newsworthy event. It would be, and it would get attention. But remember, it's not just the privilege part. The part of the, and I'll try to find this article that responded to this, was also they thought that white women were less likely to be brutalized by law enforcement. Like, what do you think's going to happen if you show up on the Capitol grounds? Remember, we did virtually nothing to the people who night in and night out trashed the Capitol, like tried to break into the Capitol and vandalize the Capitol. Nothing happened to those people, nothing. And the few Denver police officers who engaged in any sort of, when they pop smoke and all that stuff to try to disperse the crowds, Denver rolled over and played dead and said, you can have jillions of dollars because we shouldn't have done anything like that. So this idea that showing up at the Capitol requires white women to avoid police interaction in a violent way, nonsense. It's just silly. Hey, listen, we've come to the end of the show. The one thing I want to tell you about is I've just been shown a tweet here from Lululemon CEO Calvin McDonald. Apparently, everything is now free inside Lululemon. There is absolutely no reason, apparently, to spend any money at Lululemon. Everything, it's not on sale, folks. It's free. This is what he said. He doubled down on his decision to fire two employees who called the police. That's it. Called the police. Did not physically intervene, did not try to apprehend, who called the police after three men robbed their store in Georgia. His quote, it's only merchandise. Here's another quote. We have a zero tolerance policy on theft. Oh, no. We have a zero tolerance policy that we train our educators on around engaging during and theft. I don't think it was probably educators. He said while defending the company's decision. Not a zero tolerance policy on crime or theft, a zero tolerance policy on employees who call law enforcement about it. So this just in, I'm reading between the lines, folks. It's only merchandise is the exact quote. I think what he's saying is everything at Lululemon is free. They will never do anything to stop you from just walking out of the store with their goods. They simply don't care. So congratulations. Hey, listen, when we come back, we're going to shift gears. If there's any other calls, I'm happy to take them on this, but we're going to talk about some other news of the day, including Tim Scott and something that took place in Florida. It's George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.